Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, it's Healthy Gut Girl, Kitty Martone, and this is Stuff Your Doctor Should Know. I am coming to you live from deep inside your large intestine, and that just happens to be where long-haul COVID seems to reside. Indeed. Do you know what I'm talking about? So those people who have had COVID, some of them tend to have long-haul symptoms. They end up having ongoing symptoms related to when they had COVID that they never fully recovered from, but it seems to be gut-related in a lot of people. A lot of people have like an ongoing nasal drip, or they have like a little cough, a lot of fatigue, and a big symptom is gut-related issues. And it's horrible, it's crazy, it's very bizarre. And I have something kind of funny to say. I had a little accident with my laptop and I lost some recordings, which was a big fat bummer. This was back in May. And then I ended up having to recover them. And one of those recordings was this gem, which I am so grateful to have found and recovered without any issues. And this is Dr. Tanisha Wards. She's the founder and medical director of Infinity Wellness Center, supports the top 5% most difficult cases that are often written off by other doctors. She founded the Infinity Way program to uncover and correct the root cause of chronic fatigue and other patient symptoms. The Infinity Way custom care plans, followed by her whole team, meet the unique needs of individual patients and help them achieve their wellness goals. Dr. Wards established her practice with science-backed holistic principles that support whole body health. So the thing that attracted me most to your intake form was the long haul COVID stuff and how you're handling that at your practice and all of that. So let's do that.
Yes. Unfortunately, we're seeing a lot of it, more than I think people realize that it's become an ailment. What it is, I should maybe start there, is people are getting COVID, the virus. And what's happening, instead of in about, 2 to 3 weeks, they're pulling out of it. Now, some people are having some fatigue and some chest pain for 3 to 4 weeks. That's still kind of typical. What we're seeing in post-COVID syndrome, and they call themselves long haulers, is 3, 6, 9 months, a year later, they've got a whole slew of really symptoms that aren't necessarily the symptoms they started with. Some could be, some are new. We're seeing chronic fatigue to the point of bedridden, shortness of breath that they can't get up a flight of stairs in a two-story home, POTS, which is a postural issue where they stand up and their blood pressure rises and then falls and they essentially pass out. Mm-hmm. A big one, which was interesting and took a minute for me to figure out, was histamine reactions. They can't handle high histamine foods. If the allergies are high outside and they're having a histamine reaction, like it puts them in bed. Mm-hmm. Joint pain, headaches, migraines, brain fog's a big one. Like patients have said they've gotten in their car and forget where they're going, and they're going someplace they've gone the same store for 10 years kind of thing.
Oh, wow.
All of these just really random, interesting, crazy symptoms, mm-hmm. That can look like a lot of other things. So the only thing that's kind of tying them together is it immediately started after COVID, right? Like it, and I found it to be multiple different things, but yet I've seen a common thread through all of them that really nobody's really talking about. Every single one of them has, when we've run their histamine levels, it's been really, really high. They've all had methylation genetic defects, meaning the MTHFR gene, either their mom or their dad had a genetic defect. And that essentially, to kind of just the short answer on what that means, is they're poor detoxers. Mm-hmm. They don't methylate properly, meaning getting the bad stuff out, keeping the good stuff to make energy, to make methyl tetrahydrofolate, which is the form that goes into chemical reactions to make energy. And almost all of them, I take that back. All of them that have come into my office have an active Epstein-Barr virus case.
Wow.
I don't know what came first, the chicken or the egg. I don't know if COVID triggered their EBV. They had EBV and maybe it was just about to really put them in bed and express and they got COVID. That I don't know, because most of them are healthy, happy, normal people. However, when I dig into their case a little more, they might say, yeah, I was burning the candle at both ends. Yeah, I was kind of having fatigue. I was ignoring it. So as I've dug deeper, I have found a common thread of they had a lot going on. Their immune system was probably right bordering a moment to tank. Mm-hmm. Their adrenal glands were stressed. Multiple of them have Lyme disease. Some knew they did. Some we found it. Mm-hmm. So I have found those things to really be common. Every single one of them, I've started with some basic gut repair, like GI repair and a low histamine diet. And that has pulled them out of it significantly. 3-4 weeks on a low histamine diet, doing some gut repair, which could be aloe vera, which could be slippery elm bark, which could be L-glutamine. And that's where I really like to do muscle testing and, you know, look at their labs and see what would be best for them.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say 95% of them, 50% of their symptoms were gone in the first couple of weeks of just gut repair.
Oh, that's great.
Then we had to go into antivirals, finding underlying infections, get their methylation pathways going, which we were doing at the same time as the gut repair, mm-hmm. get their methylation pathways open and working with support. So it's been interesting. Some of them came to us 6 months in bed.
Wow. So yeah. What is going on? Is this a virus? Is this a retrovirus? Is this a virus that is going to be with us the way Epstein-Barr and the way herpes can be with us for forever?
I think for some people it can be. Mm-hmm. Some patients, even 6 months into treatment, they're feeling 1,000% better. They go through something really stressful. They traveled. One went through a divorce, and she had what she's calling a long hauler flare. Mm-hmm. So very similar terminology as people that have Epstein-Barr virus will say, oh, I had a flare up of my EBV. So it could be for the people that I think it lingered with. And mm-hmm. what's interesting is, you know, their Western medicine doctors really don't know what to do with them. They're not still testing positive for COVID. So mm-hmm. they're not getting COVID treatment. There has been some clinics that have popped up post-COVID clinics that have popped up. There's one here in Austin and they're doing things like running MRIs, looking at lungs, you know, they're looking at if there's been any major organ damage. And for some people there has been. Others, they're like, you don't have any major organ damage. You're not still testing positive. This is your life now. And that's just not true. That's not acceptable. We're finding ways to heal their body. Because COVID is an inflammatory disease, really. It really is. It attacks every organ system of the body, where especially and most definitely your weakest link, I found.
Yeah.
Right. So if somebody has heart issues, it's probably going to show up when they have COVID. So I think what's happening is these people have some genetic issues. They're not very strong. You know, looking at just their constitution, if you kind of look at Chinese medicine, maybe they had some other ailments, they have these underlying issues, they have these genetic issues, and it just hits at the right time. They could have been under a lot of stress, and I think their whole immune system tanks. Mm-hmm. And that's not going to show up on an MRI, right? Like, that's not going to show up on the tests that are, these clinics are popping up, that they're doing a lot of labs, and they're finding if there's any major damage, but they're not really offering a solution.
Right. So that's just such a bummer, because so many people, first of all, have these underlined, you know, co-infections and different things going on already. And then COVID hit and it really did do a number on them. And it's like the already vulnerable in a way. It was just a bad hand dealt. But what about what percentage of your patients do you feel like that were dealing with long haul, or do you know, were vaccinated?
Not all of them, definitely not all of them. And there was a lot of data going around saying the vaccine could help post-COVID syndrome, long haulers. And some of them, it did, some of them, it made worse.
Mm-hmm.
If I had to guess, I would probably say half of the people with long haul syndrome that I've seen got vaccinated.
Okay.
All of them were sick, I think, before the vaccination with post-COVID syndrome.
Okay.
So I haven't seen the vaccine cause post-COVID syndrome. So I can't say that to be true. I would say a handful of them are saying, this virus has already ruined my life. I'm not going to get vaccinated for it. I don't know what's going to happen. Like, my immune system has gone crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the virus and the vaccine are going to cause an immune reaction. That's the point
right.
of the vaccine, right? It's going to flare up the immune system. It's going to heighten the immune system. A lot of my chronic Lyme patients are like, no, thanks. Mm-hmm. My immune system has got everything under control, or, you know, we're working really hard for it to get everything under control. I don't want to stress it.
Yeah.
Right. Because it's supposed to cause an immune reaction. That's what it's doing.
Yeah.
So and I would say a few of my long haul patients believe the vaccine helped them. A few said nothing. A few said it made them worse. So mm-hmm. I can't.
It's just a mixed bag. It's hard to know.
Yeah. I can't speak to should somebody with it get a vaccine or not, because I've seen it go both ways.
Yeah. I'm curious about, you know, like when they say the vaccine, the vulnerable should get vaccinated. I'm always like, really? Like,
yeah.
I feel like, really? Cause yeah. I mean, just dealing myself in my practice, just with people who, you know, are vulnerable, who have EBV and have Lyme and have chronic fatigue syndrome already. It's like, you're really rolling the dice with which way it could go. But, so what else have you seen in terms of with long haul? There's so much gut stuff, right? I'm
yes.
seeing that now. What's up with that? I mean, is that just where it's settling?
Before I jump to the gut,
okay.
Taking it back to the vaccine, the one population in the first study that came out was people with autoimmune disorders did not do well with the vaccine, meaning it flared up their autoimmune disorder, mm-hmm. like lupus, Hashimoto's, things like that. And I have seen a lot of long haul patients have autoimmune disorders, not all of them. So I can't say, oh, it was autoimmunity that caused this syndrome, but a lot of them had autoimmune issues that either were in remission or active. I've seen both. So yeah, again, that's what the vaccine does, right? It stresses the immune system. So a lot of my autoimmune patients have opted not to get the vaccine because they feel like it's going to stress their immune system also.
Right.
I just thought that was kind of worth mentioning, just knowing the mechanism of how the vaccine works. Mm-hmm. The gut's the most important, moving on to the gut. It's the most important, I think, starting point for 99% of the patients that walk through the door.
Yeah.
Like patients will come in with depression and anxiety and we'll say, okay, we need to look at your gut microbiome. And they don't understand the gut brain connection. And we put that together. But as far as COVID, like jokes on us, right? People hoarding toilet paper. A lot of people had GI issues with their COVID cases. A lot of them had diarrhea and loose stools and gut. They couldn't eat. They were nauseous. So I definitely know the inflammatory process, the cytokines affected the gut lining. For sure. Mm-hmm. That alone could have spun people into this long COVID, right? If they already were eating processed foods and refined sugars and all of that stuff could already spun that, you know, could have already been an issue. And then COVID did attack their gut and it could have spun them into something more. I had one long haul patient who said she had diarrhea for on the upside of 6 months. Well,
whoa.
The problem with that is now we're looking at malnourishment, nutritional deficiency. You know, now we have to just rebuild everything on her. You can't sustain life that way forever. Right. So definitely the gut was attacked. Definitely the gut has been the starting point for all of my long COVID patients.
Wow. And so what does that look like with your, you know, when you say, okay, we're going to start with the gut, obviously cleaning up the diet.
Yes.
And do you have some go-tos that are just in terms of supplementation or lifestyle recommendations or whatever?
I really like to get a stool sample. And the reason why is I like to see, are we dealing with any underlying bacteria, fungus, parasites, worms, you know, is there anything in there that we need to get rid of? Mm-hmm. And the lab test that we run, it's a GI map test, also shows us the level of good bacteria, mm-hmm. because maybe it's not an underlying infection. Maybe you just don't have enough good probiotics, good bacteria to sustain, you know, homeostasis in the gut microbiome. So that's definitely a starting place. But mm-hmm. while we're waiting for the gut test to come back, sometimes I do start people on, I would say my go-to is a combination. It's a powder that has L-glutamine, slippery elm bark, and aloe vera. It's called RepairVite. And we call it healing and sealing the gut lining, or a silk blanket for the gut. It kind of just really calms the inflammation, rebuilds the gut. But then once I know what bacteria might be missing, we can then go and re-implant with probiotics that really are, you know, implantation probiotics that are going to grow the gut in the gut lining. And then of course, if there's anything to kill, then we know what herbs and things to kill, different mm-hmm. microbes that should not be in a high amount in there.
Right. Mm-hmm. Interesting. And so the stool samples, I was listening to some medical doctors argue, And some of them were really up on the, they said, well, both sides agreed that stool samples can tell you, like for, they were talking about parasites. They can tell you that you, if you have a parasite or parasites, but they can't tell you if you don't, right? They said that sometimes, you know, they can be amoebas that don't shed into the bowel, into the stool. Mm-hmm. And so you might find stuff that is shedding into the stool and then, or maybe your test looks good. Maybe you have some candida, but the test looks good, but that doesn't mean you don't have like some kind of Coxsackie situation or some kind of amoeba that's getting down and dirty with you and you don't even know it. Do you agree with that?
I do. And I would say also, it's worth noting that there is parasites that we haven't even named yet. So we certainly aren't testing for them, right? So that's where I would fall back on clinical experience. I think that everybody could handle a parasite cleanse once a year. We really do that to most of our pets, right? We kind of deworm our pets once a year. I think so, because, you know, you don't have to have gone to a third world country to get a parasite. You could absolutely get a parasite from eating sushi without the wasabi. That's why it's there, to kill parasites. Salad bars, you know, undercooked pork. There's so many you could literally touch a grocery cart and put your hands in your mouth, as we know from COVID, right? How contagious things can be. And get parasites. You can bite your fingernails, kids licking dirt, spreading them, your dog licking your face and then sleeping in your bed, because most parasites are nocturnal. So they'll come out at night through the rectum. I know. The old,
but how do they get past my pajamas?
Right? Well,
that's so creepy. They make it, right?
Not sleeps with pajamas, I guess. I mean, in your mouth. I mean, the old, I don't want to say wives' tale, because it's absolutely true, but the old, yep, there he is. Little parasite bugger. Putting the old scotch tape over a child's rectum to find out sleeping, if they have pinworms when they're sleeping, or go in with a flashlight because they're nocturnal and you'll see them. I mean, that's true. Most of them are nocturnal. So, and they do come out at night. So these are not.
Little walk. They come out for a little stroll in the evening. Breeze.
Who knows? Yeah, I don't know what they're thinking.
Amazing.
But yeah, that's a thing. That's definitely, I 100% agree with that. Even if your stool test says no parasites, I would fall back on clinical experience of, you know, gas, symptoms, bloating, and whatever the symptoms are. And it's not going to hurt you to go through a parasite cleanse.
Really?
Most parasite cleanses done right with doctor guidance, they have antibacterial properties, you know, they have binders, they're going to get some junk out. There's toxins, things like that. The best time to do a parasite cleanse is near the full moon.
Yes. See, people think I'm crazy for saying that.
Because like the rest of us, the circadian rhythms of the tide control everything, and they're more active during the full moon. I have a handful of patients that came in for hormone issues. We've run their hormones because the week of their cycle, and most women bleed at a new moon. Let me get that right. Ovulate at a new moon, bleed at a full moon. That's right. So ovulation is during the new moon, 2 weeks later, the full moon, and they have their cycle. So they think they have hormone issues because they're having this gas, this bloating, they're moody, they feel bad, they're cramping, and they think it's all PMS. We run their hormones and we do multiple samples throughout the month. So we're getting very clear on what's happening with their hormones, and they're fine. And every single time it's been a parasite infection. We clear up the parasites, their PMS, their horrible periods. I can't leave the house. Go away.
That's so interesting. Mm-hmm. I mean, okay, so a couple things. So I heard
so, you're like, let's break this down.
Yeah, I have this estrogen dominance support group on Facebook, and we're about to have 20,000 members here in a minute, and it's pretty active too. It's pretty active. A lot of people engage, and I'm telling you, you can set the clock to the full moon. You can see this cyclical thing happening with women. And I always just assumed, I mean, my mentor used to say, everybody's got parasites. So it's just a matter of, are they an infection or are they not an infection? Are you living in harmony with these things or are you not?
Right.
And so, but I never thought like the hormone component, because with the hormones, I definitely see, you know, including myself. And I always say, look, if you have some level of inflammation, you're going to probably feel that full moon coming.
And the bigger that's true too.
Yeah. And so, but I never thought, wow, I wonder if it's just all of these things. It's the parasites. It's all these things that kind of come up and wreak some havoc around the full moon. It's so interesting.
No one has ever been sad they've done a parasite cleanse. At the very least, people feel like belly bloat has gone down. They feel like their clothes fit better. Mm-hmm. They pass larger amounts of stool, so they just feel lighter. I've had patients send me pictures of 12-inch long ropeworms. Like it's been
wow.
Fun. We actually have done, and I typically do this around Halloween because it's fun, a group full moon cleanse. And then typically if somebody sees something come out, I'll have them do it again the next full moon and do it 2 or 3 months, sometimes on the upside of 5 or 6 months, until nothing else passes. Mm. If we're seeing worms pass, and that's fun. I always tell them, send it to me. Just put in the subject line, like parasites in clothes, so I don't open it in front of the wrong.
Right.
I love that stuff. I think it's the coolest thing ever.
Me too.
Sometimes it's not for people, but yeah, it's very, very, very common. And it's an ailment of a lot of things.
Mm-hmm. And so do you have them assayed? Do you have them checked? Or because I know that I've seen a lot of like candida strands that look like, when they all think they're worms. And then my mentor used to say, I promise you, and he'd send them in and it was just like mucoid plaque. And it was like these long, I mean, some of them were so long, and they would keep getting them. And they thought, gosh, I'm infested. And he would say, no, actually, you know, you need to do a candida cleanse, which would also be a lot like the, you know, like the parasite cleanse, to kind of get a handle on that candida. Can you speak on candida too, please?
Yeah. So that's why I sometimes have them send in pictures, because you're right. The candida looks more mucousy and kind of just like white and stringy, where the worms are like, no. I have them put gloves on sometimes. And I had one patient literally pull it out and put it like on a paper towel and put a measuring tape up against it. And it's like, no, it's solid.
So it's like it's, a form to it, yeah. And a head.
Oh yeah. And, oh yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yes.
Better out than in, right?
And then I've seen other ones that are like little white, longer than rice, but multiple little just white, looks like specks, but longer, and multiple of them. So I've seen a couple different types of worms. Yeah. Yes. So candida's a bugger. Mm. Candida's a tough one to get rid of, in my experience and in my opinion, because everything has refined sugar. So everything feeds the dang thing. So you can't just take an antifungal. You have to kill it and starve it, in my experience. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people don't like the way it comes out during die-off, right? So people have sometimes a vaginal yeast infection flare up. Their scalp gets, you know, itchy and flaky, or they have thrush, or they just feel flu-like and achy. They have diarrhea. So a lot of people, like, if you could just get through the first couple of days of this candida cleanse, it will get better. It will lift. That may happen. And the diet is very, very restrictive. Like, there's only certain fruits you can have. But when you can get rid of the candida, it changes your life.
Yeah.
Because it causes brain fog, fatigue, joint pain, gut issues. I mean, I think the medical community has stopped in the last 10 years prescribing antibiotics like candy. When I was a kid, I'm in my 40s, you went to the doctor for anything. Oh, it's a virus. You get a Z-Pak.
Yeah, exactly.
You're getting antibiotics, but doc, it's a virus. I know.
Right.
We don't want it to turn into a bacteria. That doesn't happen.
Yeah.
That's not how that works.
Let's cover our bases and just throw the whole kitchen sink at it.
I have found more recently, at least here in Austin, Texas, that, you know, you got to have a positive strep test to come back. They're not throwing antibiotics at you. In fact, it's almost kind of harder to get them now. So the pendulum has almost swung from what I've seen, that you have to really prove you, which isn't a bad thing necessarily, unless it's needed. And I've even seen, you know, general practitioners say, oh, go pick up a probiotic. I'm putting you on this antibiotic for 10 days. And I was like, brilliant. That's amazing. That's going to help. Hopefully he's telling him not to take it at the same time as the antibiotic, but
yeah,
you know, all the things. So fortunately I don't feel like yeast, I mean, it's still out there and it's still a problem because of our diet and processed and refined sugars and foods. But, you know, I've definitely seen it. I've been in practice 16 years. I feel like I'm seeing it less and less than I have. I think people are getting smart to, I don't want to throw an antibiotic at everything. And that's only one way you could get candida. I mean, there's lots of other ways.
Yeah.
Right? Anytime your body's out of homeostasis, but I'm seeing it a little less than I was, but I still see it a lot.
Right. Hello. Quick interruption to tell you about the in-home dried urine Dutch Complete hormone test. It's not enough to just know your levels, high or low, but for example, what are you doing with your estrogen? Is it being pushed down unhealthy, potentially dangerous pathways that could lead to breast or prostate cancer, fibroids, or insulin resistance? Or are you converting your testosterone into estrogen and having hair loss and low libido? Or are your adrenals burnt out and at the root of all your hormonal struggles? No point in guessing. I love this test. I take it once a year and it keeps me on track with my goal of aging gracefully. Use your coupon ED25 as in estrogen dominance 25 and get $25 off your test interpretation and 6-week program of supplement, detox, and dietary recommendations. I have 5 years of experience reading and interpreting this test and was trained by the makers Precision Analytical. Coupled with my gut health expertise, and this program is about as comprehensive as you're going to get. Check it out in the show notes for more details.
Let's go back and talk more about chronic fatigue, even pre-COVID. You know, a lot of people don't realize and don't know that chronic fatigue is actually like a syndrome. Like if there's actually ME/CSF and that are virally triggered and things like that. Some people think that it's just, oh, I'm just always tired. And though it can be kind of like a mitochondrial thing, mm-hmm. where you're just not maybe thyroid or you're not processing, you're not turning your fuel to energy in an efficient way. But right. a lot of it, especially with women, it can be a viral problem or even bacterial set off by Lyme disease and things. Can you talk more about chronic fatigue as if someone is experiencing it and doesn't know nothing about, you know, the viral or bacterial component to chronic fatigue?
Yes. So I think you nailed it. You have to find what's causing it. Mm-hmm. Is it, and I found, and this is kind of broad, but there's typically three underlying issues: an underlying infection, an underlying attack, so like autoimmunity, or stress on the system, stress, adrenal stress, mitochondrial stress, which can be genetic. You know, you could genetically not convert and make your ATP properly. So finding the underlying cause, I think, is it. Just accepting chronic fatigue syndrome as your diagnosis isn't digging deeper. Somebody's not doing their job. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm tired all the time, but why? Is there a bacteria? Is it Epstein-Barr virus? Is it Lyme disease? Same with fibromyalgia. Okay, you have pain everywhere. Why? Is it a toxin? Is it mold toxicity? That's another one I'm seeing be a real underlying root cause for chronic fatigue is mold, chronic mold syndrome, living in a moldy house or being exposed to mold somewhere. That's been a big, big one here in Central Texas in the last few years. That's really popped up, I think, between the humidity. We've had a lot of rain. Houston, we're seeing a lot of patients come from Houston who had the floods a couple of years ago. These people are living in homes with mold after one of the hurricanes. And yes, you're fatigued, or yes, you have pain, but your body doesn't wake up one day and your thyroid says, I'm not going to make hormones anymore. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of things that get there. And oftentimes it's adrenals, like you were saying, right? The thyroid and the adrenals are really kind of antagonistic of each other. So if you're under a lot of stress, the thyroid slows it down. And then now we're going hypothyroid. So again, finding and fixing what's causing it is the only way to pull out of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you can't supplement your way out of it if there's an infection, right? You can kill the infection, like you can do the right things. And then of course, diet matters. If you're giving your body, you know, fuel that doesn't really produce ATP and energy, you're not, you know, you're eating processed foods, of course, you're going to be tired like that. Mm-hmm. You're going to go up and down. So there's so many, I mean, I could probably name 100 different things that cause chronic fatigue. Finding someone who's going to walk that path, run the right labs, listen to your history, put the puzzle pieces together is what is the only way to really, I think, crack chronic fatigue.
Right. It seems like that's the case with almost everything now, really, because there's so many components and variables when we're not feeling good. And, you know, like hormones, especially in my group, you know, it used to be just like perimenopausal. It's 7 years old, the group. So it was like perimenopausal women getting to that age where progesterone is really crashing and then making their way into perimenopause and menopause. Now there are women showing up in the group who are in their early 20s talking about wanting a hysterectomy because they're showing signs of, you know, that like their PMDD and their, you know, their PCOS or whatever is so bad that they just want they would just want a hysterectomy.
That and breaks my heart.
Yeah, it's really sad. And I just feel like I feel like there was a shortage, or there is a shortage of doctors like yourself, of people like yourself who, you know, who really know how to get down into the weeds with them and figure stuff out, who have mm-hmm. the time to spend and really do the investigating, because, you know, you can't get that from a conventional medical doctor. Now there are some, these functional practitioners and integrative mm-hmm. practitioners who are starting to dabble, and that's really good news, but really, and it's hard, and most don't take insurance. So
right.
people are really faced with this, like right. taking their healthcare into their own hands.
Absolutely. And if there's one thing I could wave a magic wand and fix, would be insurance covers prevention and or techniques and modalities that actually work versus, mm-hmm. oh, you're having PCOS, let's slap you on birth control
yeah.
kind of thing. Or you're having, you know, PMS, PMDD, let's slap you on birth control. That doesn't fix anything.
No.
And I've seen it too. Women, I've seen a bit more in their late 20s, early 30s coming into my office. We run hormones and they're presenting perimenopausal. And I have a couple theories. I think that stress will spin you into an early menopause because, you know, the pituitary gland's dealing with this, the adrenals are dealing with the tigers. Nobody's signaling the ovaries properly, kind mm-hmm. of thing. Definitely seeing that. I have a mentor that recently told me she thinks PCOS is on the rise because women are being forced a lot of the time to be more masculine. They're in sales positions, leadership positions that are forcing them to get more into the masculine. And we, whether you believe in creation or evolution, we adapt. So mm-hmm. she believes these women are producing more testosterone to keep up with the men.
How interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
Because, you know, a big sign of PCOS is high testosterone, right? So what came first? Did they have this whole syndrome and their testosterone is high, or because their testosterone is high, they're creating cysts, cystic acne, you know, all the symptoms, facial hair, more aggression, yeah. anger to keep up. I actually had a patient in my clinic not too long ago, and I had this conversation with her, and she said, and she had high testosterone. I was like, okay, we can absolutely detox this testosterone. We can balance your hormones. You know, we can work on the liver, break it down, get it out, you know, get you more balance, pull you out of perimenopause. And I told her what my mentor told me. And she said, wait a second, if we detox this testosterone, am I going to lose my edge in sales?
Oh boy. Wow.
And I said, maybe you are, you know, you, if you were very aggressive, it could be testosterone driven. And she didn't come back.
Wow.
Didn't follow her protocol and was like, I'm out.
That is a case study. That is fascinating.
Right? And I was yes. like, okay, someday she may come back wanting children someday, and that's going to have to be balanced to have
yeah.
to,
for fertility. I mean, if she can at that point, because
if she can at that point,
sure, her DHEA will have been so, you know, DHEAS will be like, and her testosterone will probably be gone. And whatever she does have, she's just turning into androgens. Because that's that. Yeah.
This is as a practitioner, like, and a mother, I just wanted to like shake her and say, no, like, yeah. listen to me, you know, kind of thing. Like, I'm exactly that. I know what that path is going to look like if she does nothing.
I mean, you know, even if she, say, doesn't want children and doesn't really care about that aspect, the fact that, and this gets into kind of a controversial topic of today, but the fact that she is a biological woman means her body is going to strive for that homeostasis at the expense of her yes. adrenals and yes. at the expense of her down to her mitochondria, down her thyroid. And she's going to end up, you know, just miserable because that isn't being balanced. That's so interesting. What that is really cool. I mean, not cool, but it's fascinating.
I know it was interesting. Right. And so this mentor of mine, you know, we were talking, I actually called her up and told her that. And she was like, that doesn't surprise me. Like, that doesn't surprise me. Yeah, right. How many of us are putting careers first and mm-hmm. all of this. And yeah, I mean, I just was like, what do I do? I mean, I can't force her to follow my protocol.
Yeah.
You know, I want to.
I think, you know, I'm sure that there is a healthy way, and you probably totally agree with that, to maintain a, you know, the sort of A-type personality, but not aromatize those hormones like that and just really stay in a balance, you know, so she's favoring both pathways equally and she's not favoring that alpha pathway that's creating all that. I bet, I mean, there has to be, because there are successful women out there who can do it all, you know? So that's that is so interesting. And it makes me wonder in other ways too, socially, in every aspect, how our hormones are driving what we want out of life.
That's absolutely
interesting.
Absolutely. And then can we, I mean, to challenge that a little bit, can she be where she wants to be without that drive, that testosterone drive, right?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Interesting.
She was in a male dominated world. She was in sales, like, or a male dominated field in sales. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know if she would be at the top of the food chain and the top of the ladder there if she did have more estrogen, less testosterone.
Yeah. Yeah.
Or more progesterone, less testosterone, right? I don't know. It, all of it was so fascinating. And I'm like, okay, this is out of my scope of practice. We need mental health help here. kind of thing. Like, I just don't know.
Right. Well, I think it's very cool. I mean, I just love this kind of stuff. And also, you know, throw in the xenoestrogenic component there too, right?
Yes. Like, yes.
Throw in xenoestrogens, and now you've got a scenario where
7-year-olds have breasts.
Test it. Yeah, we can't even test for it. I mean, we can. I guess we can test for pesticides and chemicals. But that's like, you know, we can't determine how much of that we're expressing in a like estrogenic or testosterone type of way.
Yeah, we're just seeing breast tissue earlier, and you know, hormone menopause earlier, and we're just seeing this estrogen mimic and sit on the receptors, and it's just causing havoc. Absolutely. Right. And people don't even know about it. Like, that's why I love getting on podcasts like this, because people don't even know that's a thing.
Right.
In plastics and in, I mean, the hormones in their meats, like, they don't even think about that.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not, you know, aware of it and educated in it. I talk to patients like, oh, they're estrogen dominant. That's way off the charts. We start talking about where they could be eating estrogen. You know, they're using all the makeup supply, the brands that tighten and plump and all of that's estrogenic, xenoestrogens. You know, they don't think about hormones not in meat and, and getting hormone-free meat. Like, that's not even on their radar.
Yeah. Wow. It's fascinating. Stepping back a bit about I'm like so fascinated by this with the woman with the A-type personality. I had this client who, and I see it a lot. Like, you know, I'll do the Dutch test, the dry hormone analysis test, and dried urine. And now I've been doing it for so long now that I can look at their DHEA and their DHEAS, and I can look at their symptoms, and I can tell you if they're A type or not. I can tell you, I can guess. And so far I've been like 100% accurate. And one of the clients, she actually was talking about how when she was younger, that she grew up with it. So it makes me think about this client you mentioned, how this patient of yours, how I wonder if that's been her world since she was quite young, right? If she was like in her household was having to prove to her father that she could be as good as her brothers and having to do that. And that's been like, you know, holding it together too. Like this woman's cortisol pattern was perfect and everything looked amazing. All her pathways were perfect, but she was miserable. And it was like, wow, she's holding it together. She's so A-type, it even shows in her lab, yet her levels are, you know, her PCOS and all of the stuff that she's exhibiting symptom-wise. It is so interesting to me.
My thought is she's holding it together till she's not.
Right, until she gets to like 47.
I think it's going to crash, right?
Yeah.
And I've been there. I after I had my daughter close to 40, running a practice, brought two more doctors on. And, you know, I was like, okay, well, I'm an older mom. I'm supposed to be a little tired. And I found out I had an active Epstein-Barr virus and Hashimoto's going on. And my history is Lyme disease, much younger, 14 years old, recovered from it. And I thought, oh no, you know, we thought this could happen post-pregnancy. I'm going to have a Lyme flare, but it felt different. And I realized like, yeah, no, you can't run at this rate anymore. You're a mama, right? Like we think we can do it all. And I struggle, right? Like I struggle with, you know, should we be at home with our kids? You know, that's maybe an innate feeling. Should we be climbing the ladder? I own the practice. I have doctors working with us. You know, you can't do it all. Something's got to give or your adrenals will. or your hormones will. You know, it's going to happen if you're running in the red all the time. And that's mm-hmm. the big message that I want to tell people: stop before it gets there.
Yeah.
Figure out how, you know, there's no such thing as balance, right? The pendulum swings. You might be in balance for a second, right? But where is your energy going to go? How do you keep it all together without burning yourself out?
Yeah.
And that's the hard part.
So that's what do you say if someone's already there? You know, if they've passed that point where they feel like there's a point of no return. I mean, I feel like I know what you're going to say, because I think that at that point, and even before that, you really need guidance. You have to figure out
what your starting point is.
Yeah.
Yep. You have to do the right thing in the right order. You have to start at the starting point. So, you know, if your liver enzymes are high and you feel like, oh, I need to go do a liver cleanse, but your gut can't process the toxins the liver is dumping into the intestinal tract to get rid of it, it's not going to work.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So yeah, here's another perfect example. If the thyroid is low and you're fatigued and you just keep giving your body more and more thyroid hormone, but it's really because the adrenals are overactive and the thyroid's trying to slow it down, until you fix the adrenals, you're just going to eventually shut your thyroid and pituitary off because they don't have to make hormones anymore.
Right.
So finding what's actually driving the burnout, the fatigue, is it an infection? Is it adrenal fatigue? Is it autoimmunity? You just have to figure that out, or you're just going to keep spinning. You might feel a little bit better doing this and doing that and, cutting out foods. But until you really fix the problem, it's not going to heal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to have a plan. I think that's the thing I notice the most in our group, is that women just feel overwhelmed by everything. First, they feel like it's a relief to have a group to go to and start talking with other women who are going through the same things or similar. But then it's also overwhelming because there's so much information. Where do I start? And then they're exhausted. And they also have their families and, you know, they're just, like you said, burning the candles. Yeah, it's too much.
Yeah, it can be just too much. So having someone to say, okay, this is step one, this is what we're going to do, and not overwhelm them with 18 things to do at once,
mm-hmm.
right? Sometimes we have to, you know, slowly step into, you know, we have to heal the gut. Let's just focus on this.
Mm-hmm.
And then finding precisely what's out of balance, right? So if the gut's not working, you're probably not absorbing nutrients. So, you know, are you low in iron? Are you low in B vitamins? Like, all of that matters. You can't just throw everything at the wall and see what sticks. You really want to be precise, precision medicine, we call it. And then taking it a layer deeper, if they have some genetic defects where they don't detox properly, that has to be fixed too. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you can't change your genes, but you can certainly support the pathways and get you detoxing properly.
Yeah. Love that. So, let's just throw this in. I'm going to throw no pun intended, but I'm going to throw a monkey wrench in the mix. What do you think about this monkeypox?
Yeah. So we've had an outbreak before. And
of this same exact virus.
I believe so. I don't think it's a different strain. I believe it is the same one. And I think they said 47 people in the US were infected. Nobody died. What's interesting is how long it lasts, similar to COVID, right? It can last 2 to 3 to 4 weeks. I think my same thought with as COVID too. If it really is going to be an outbreak, we're probably all going to get some level of exposure. That's a thought. And what's your immune system going to do with that exposure? Are you going to get sick or not? Mm-hmm. You know, are you going to get a little sick? Are you going to be able to fight it? So the one thing I noticed during COVID that at least I've seen is a lot of people have taken a step back and said, I need to get healthy.
Yes.
I need to get my cholesterol under control. I need to lose weight. I need to stop drinking soda, stop eating fast food, like whatever it is, stop smoking. Oh my gosh. If people are still smoking after COVID, I don't know what to say, right? Like, I don't know what to say, because it attacks the lungs in such a way that you don't want to be a smoker. Mm-hmm. So I think we can only control the controllables, and we can only, otherwise we're going to spin and stress, and, you know, that lowers your immune system when you're in fight or flight. So I deal with the public. I had to make a decision early on that I can live in fear and be freaked out, or I can take the proper precautions, work on my immune system, you know, do the best I can to avoid exposure. It's going to happen. And then if and when I get hit, I think it's probably more of when, how's my body going to handle it?
Mm-hmm.
And that's going to be a reflection of what's going on with your body. So I feel the same with this. If it's truly going to be as bad as they say, or is it going to be? We don't know yet.
Right.
But all of it is back to immune system, gut. What's your daily habits? What's your stress level like? Are you burning the candle? Are you sleeping? Are you drinking water? Are you eating refined sugars? All the things that tank our immune system. Let's try to just make one degree of change in as much as we can to be healthier, stronger when we come across, because we're going to come, if it's not this virus, it's going to be another one.
Right. I mean, that's truly what they're, well, you know, in this field that we're in, I definitely have a whole different perspective on viruses. And, you know, I love the way Dr. Zach Bush talks about it and how we're just exposed to uncountable, an innumerable, uncountable amount of viruses on a daily basis in our water, in our air, everywhere. And so I've always had that, and just being gut-centric practitioner, I've always known that. But yes, it's like this new fear talk about the next virus and the next virus, and, you know, and having like a level of like awareness of preparation is good, but it's also like, all right, let's try to not be in this space of fear, which I really feel like is pumped out there constantly. So, you know, I like what you're saying about like, where are you? Where are you in your health at the moment? And what can you do to upgrade, right? To upgrade so that when whatever does come along, you're going to be ready for that.
I think the dying question for that is, are you a good host or not? We want to make an environment that you're not a good host. You know, and that's all we can really, really do. But yeah, we deal with the public. I had to make a decision. Am I going to live in fear and stay home? Or am I going to work on my immune system and show up and feed my family? You know, that was the decision I had to make. And I chose not to live in fear.
I love that. Good. Well, do you have anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up? I just love this. And I want people to, you do telemed or?
I do. Great. So that's one other thing that has developed from COVID is we can see patients all over the country. We pivoted like everybody else and went to a digital platform that's HIPAA compliant. And yep, we absolutely do telemed. US and Canada, we can run all our labs. We have seen some patients in Australia and Europe. It's a little harder to run labs, but we've managed with some of them. They've gotten practitioners there to run it. I would like to leave people with this thought. Your body is designed as a self-healing mechanism. If you can take away what it has too much of, whether that's an environmental toxin, that's a virus, and you can give it what it needs, whether that's, you know, a specific precursor to a hormone or a neurotransmitter or a nutrient or a vitamin. If you can do those things, the body can heal.
Beautiful.
And it's designed to. Yeah, it wants to. So really just figuring out what you need and what you don't need and what you need to detox is really the key.
Nice. I love that.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope that was so helpful for those of you who are suffering with long haul COVID, and also those of you who know someone who is. Please share this podcast with them. And please, in the show notes are all of Dr. Tanisha Ward's information and how to reach out to her and how to get her help. You know, she also focuses on hormones and she does telemed. So she's really somebody who I highly recommend that you should reach out to. Also, don't forget the Black Friday Ona's Natural Sale, 20% off of the entire store, friends. Okay. And that starts on Thanksgiving night, so Thursday, and it's across the board for all the websites. So Germany, etc. And everything's on sale, including the new product that I formulated, which is Luna Madre, which is actually a pregnenolone product for those women who tend to be extremely sensitive and can't tolerate progesterone. And I'm talking about people who have tried and tried for years, consistent usage of progesterone, and they're not able to take it at high doses, because that's usually the problem with progesterone when someone can't tolerate it. 95% of the time, I'm going to say, is underdosing. Pregnenolone is not for those people because you'll just end up wasting your money because you'll have to use so much of it because it's a much weaker hormone. It does contribute to make progesterone, but if you have tried progesterone and you're having like severe reactions on low doses, that is most likely because you're underdosing. So if you have tried it at high doses and you're still sensitive to it and you have issues with candida or heavy metals, Lyme disease, things like this, and it's really hard for you to take progesterone, you might want to try Luna Madre. Okay, so go to us.onasnatural.com and that's on Black Friday. And the coupon code is OFF20. OFF20. Okay, friends, happy Thanksgiving.
Yay!